You're listening to WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information.
Opinions expressed on WRFG do not necessarily represent opinions of Radio Free Georgia Broadcasting Foundation, Inc., its staff, or volunteers. This is WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information, and you are listening to Alternative Perspectives, a weekly program about the GLBTQI community, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersexed community, produced by Betty Cougatee, informing about the issues that affect us and our allies, and the common humanity that connects us all.
We're marching for equality. We're setting the stage
in DC to break out free. 'Cause Stonewall stirs this passion in me.
I'm here today to make it be.
We'll have my full equality.
EQALITY. 'Cause we deserve it.
EQALITY. When?
Right now, right now, right now.
EQALITY.
'Cause we deserve it.
EQALITY. When?
Right now, right now, right now.
From top to bottom, left to right.
It's not a battle or a fight.
Because my love don't stir that way.
We're marching in peace, happy, sad, mad, and gay.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Equality. That's what we want, and we want it now. Okay, we have an exciting show for you this evening. But first, let me just make my little comment that, you know, I spend a week trying to, you know, figure things out, what's going on out there, so that when I come here, I can speak on things, on the issues, because there are so many, and things are moving so quickly, and we need to be so vigilant, and we need to be informed, okay? But today, another organization. I know last week I mentioned things like the Patriot Act, and I mentioned the Citizens United, and you would think that these things were supposed to be like helpful to the people. Well, you know, they're not. If you look them up and you try to understand what it all means and what it does to us, you'll know that the names are deceiving. Okay, and then we have, I heard another one today, and it's Americans for Prosperity. You would think, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, that some organization with that kind of a name, they're looking out for the little guy, us, you and me. No, that's not what's happening, okay? These are the people that are now out there marketing and putting lies out there to the public about Obamacare and how bad it is, et cetera, et cetera. They're putting out a whole lot of lies. You know, they dissected one of those lies today while I was listening on my ride down from the mountains. And, you know, and I wonder what is it, you know, what kind of people, you know, what is it that makes people, you know, think and do things that are harmful when they are they're supposed to be like working for us, the people, and making sure that things are safeguarded for us and our benefit. Okay, so it really is mind-boggling to me that there are people who will sweet talk you and they will get elected and then they sell themselves out to be, you know, big corporations. Okay, and that's where Citizens United comes in, where corporations buy the elected officials. Literally, that's what happens. They buy them. Okay. And then they lobby, you know, by lobbying, and they you know, get them to pass laws that are helpful to the corporations and not the people, okay? But, you know, we have to be informed. We have to be vigilant. We have to be, we have to know when they're saying stuff, and we have to be putting it on that side of, is this true or is it not? Is it helping me and my fellow man? Or is it not, you know? And it's the question is, what when laws pass, the question has to be asked, how did the people benefit from that today? Okay? That's the question. All right? So, I mean, you know, today there was the Medicaid expansion in Georgia, which Governor Deal has denied and has not expanded and given up the federal money on that score. And today the Moral Monday crowd was down there, Moral Monday, Georgia, and some folks got arrested. Okay, it's on Facebook, and I'm sure you'll hear about it on the 6 o'clock news or the 11 o'clock news or whatever it is if you weren't watching. But one of the people I know, Lorraine Fontana, was down there, and her picture was up there, and the banner came out, and they were telling the senators who are taking the vote that they needed to vote no, okay, on whatever it is that they're, you know, trying to do, okay. But Medicaid expansion is depriving people of proper health care who are too poor to qualify for the marketplace or Obamacare, okay. That's where Medicaid comes in. Okay, because you have to make a certain amount of money to be able to buy your insurance. And if you don't make that money, then you don't qualify to buy insurance at the marketplace. But because there is no Medicaid expansion in Georgia and some other states, okay, you have nothing. You have nothing because they're not taking new Medicaid subscribers, okay? They if you had it before, continues, I guess, or whatever. But Medicaid expansion doesn't exist in Georgia. They gave up the money, the federal money, and the thing is that the federal money is going to pay 100%, 100% for 3 years, and then it goes to 90% by the federal government. But Georgia said no, and that's because they don't want the poor people to be able to be healthy, okay? and it's just, you know, Georgia is just one big old mess, okay? And November is going to dictate what our lives are going to be like, okay? Because my favorite words here, you have to be vigilant, you have to be knowledgeable, you have to be informed, okay? Then you have to educate, and then you have to activate, and then you have to agitate, okay? But I'm going to stop because I could go on with this stuff, you know, for the whole hour, but we're not going to do that because we have today is the third Tuesday of the month, and that means equality, and specifically marriage equality. And Brandon Maddox is here, which he brings us the news and what is going on with that particular issue. And he has gone a step further, and he has gotten actual real people from the Georgia area to come in and tell us their stories. And we have a fantastic story for you today because I'm just amazed at what this couple is doing. And they're doing it along with their families because they have children. But we're going to hear from them in a minute. But first, Brandon.
Hello, everybody. Yes, I'd like to thank Casey and Shawanda being with here today, and we'll be sharing her story. The first few minutes, we'd like to begin with catching up with what's happening in a local area since we had a chance to speak a month ago. And the biggest thing on the national area that could impact those of us living here in Georgia is what has recently happened just 2 weeks ago. No, not even that. On the 14th, just a few days ago in Tennessee. that a federal judge rules Tennessee must respect marriages of three same-sex couples. I clipped it out, and so I have to read the report, and we can have a discussion from that. But it says March 14, 2014, the U.S. District Court Judge Alita Trauger ruled that state officials must respect the marriages of three same-sex couples whose lawsuit challenges the state's marriage ban. And these couples' marriages will be respected as their cases proceeds. Since the judge explained that plaintiffs are likely to prevail in their case, the judge wrote, "At this point, all signs indicate that in the eyes of the United States Constitution, the plaintiffs' marriages will be placed on an equal footing with those of heterosexual couples, and that proscriptions against same-sex marriage will soon become a footnote in the annals of American history." The rulings of Tomko v. Halsom, a case filed by the National Center for Lesbian Rights in October 2013, Freedom to Marry founder and President Evan Wolfson, who was just here last week for the launch of the Southerners for Marriage Equality, he celebrated the ruling today. He said that this is the eighth judge in recent months to rule on a challenge to marriage discrimination, which now 8 out of 8 ruling that under our Constitution across our entire country, marriage discrimination should and must end. The judge's powerful words and the fact that today's rulings come out of Tennessee makes clear that all of America is ready for the freedom to marry, and it is time for appellate judges and the Supreme Court to do right by all families and the bedrock principle of liberty and equality under law. And Tennessee is also the second southern state where a federal judge has ruled in favor of the respect for out-of-state marriages for same-sex couples, following Kentucky in February. 55 lawsuits seeking the freedom to marry or respect for out-of-state marriages are currently pending in federal and state court in 28 states across the country. And that also leads Betty to, as she's been asking a lot, where's Georgia in all of this? Did you want to go in and chime in for that?
Where's Georgia? Yes, I'm always constantly asking whenever there's an event somewhere else and there is success and there's victory. We usually post it up there on Facebook, and my question is always, where's Georgia? And I'm directing that question to those organizations and those leaders here in Georgia that say they're going to do, but they're still sitting and not, there's no actions. I mean, every place else, you know, where there is a ban, there's actions in one way or another, okay? There's some kind of court, something going on. But here in Georgia, we're standing still, you know, so I'm always asking the question, where's Georgia?
And that is a great question. There is only two ways that Georgia is going to advance on this issue if we must have to take care of it on our own. And while this may be resolved for us on the national level, I mean, that's a good advancement in Tennessee. And that's right. Not our state, but Tennessee is just next door up north.
Right. It may become to the point that so many things are passed out there in so many states, undo the banning that is going to automatically affect all those other states on the national level.
You know? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is how the March for Equality happens, when every state does their part. And I don't see Georgia playing in this. It's like Georgia is standing by the sidelines and then wants to, I guess, reap the benefits of it once it resolves. And this is when we're at a time now when it's time to put all your cards in.
That's right.
And Georgia, I don't understand. But to be fair, there are two ways that Georgia can advance on itself. We need either or both a legislative repeal of Georgia's marriage ban or a court case. Now, I'll talk first about the legislative repeal.
Excuse me, but or they could put it back to the voters.
That may happen.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why that with the Love and the Fire campaign, we launched a petition to strongly encourage several legislators who we know are morally supportive in theory of marriage equality, but have yet, from their positions as legislators, have done nothing.
Nada.
At this point, to do away with that amendment. So, and they are, I'll name them, Representative Dr. Carla Drenner, Representative Simone Bell, Representative Keisha Wade, State Senator Kurt Thompson, and Representative Mabel Thompson, and Representative Stacey Abrams, and the chair of the Democratic Party, the Georgia Democratic Party, who voted for Georgia's marriage ban, but has since changed his mind and said he is supportive of marriage equality and will work to undo what he was a part of, and that is Dubose Porter. And so I am willing to just do whatever we can to hold him to his promise, because mm-hmm. he's part of the problem that we have now. Mm-hmm. And right now that petition has racked up nearly 2,500 signatures from all over Georgia.
Right.
And a recent conversation, I tried to give one of the representative benefit of the doubt and let her act on her own initiative. But I'm going to be transparent. I have had a personal conversation with Representative Dr. Carla Drenner, and I will not say exactly what she said she's going to do, because I would like for her to say it out of her own words and not let it be hearsay. Mm-hmm. But I will say this much, if we can trust in her word and what she says, we have something to hope for from her coming in the next legislative session. We shall see.
Yeah.
What I've been trying to do is to get her to release a statement. And it's not that I'm saying or accusing Dr. Drenner of being, or Representative Drenner of being untrustworthy. What it is that if she is going to do something, I'm not saying what she's going to do, but if she's going to do something in the 2015 legislative session, we need something to rally behind to prepare for that, to prepare the community, so that by the time she does what she says she's going to do, this issue will be already thoroughly discussed, and it will just set it up for her. And we're not going to do that. I mean, we've been burned a lot here in Georgia. We're not going to do that if we don't have something on paper, something to hope for. Now, there is something even less that we can hope for. There is a somebody running or whatever that says that if he is elected, he will go ahead and start the legislative repeal process. Mm-hmm. And I'll stop with that. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on. As far as a court case, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know the details of that, but I am in touch with a member of the ACLU, and he lets me know there's 4 cases that are about to launch very soon, and he would not give me the details, and so we shall see with that.
Okay, and with that, we're going to pause a moment. We've been here like 40 years or something like that. I think it's 40 years. I think we just celebrated the 40th anniversary this past year. And but we do it with your help. Okay, you help us pay the bills, the electric bill. You know, when equipment breaks down, we have to fix it. You know, this is how we do it. Okay, and this is how you get your news. Independent media, it's something that's become more and more scarce, and we need to protect it. We need to protect it because we need it. The people need it. It is where our voices are. Okay, this has nothing to do with corporations. There is no greedy hands of the corporations here. Okay, they have no influence here. They do not dictate to us. They don't edit what we say here. Okay, opposed to mainstream media that you, what you hear, you know, on mainstream media where it's edited and you can only speak about what's approved. That's not the way it is here. Okay, that's what makes it independent media. Okay, and we're people just like you who come here, we volunteer, and if we're lucky enough, we're able to get a show like this, Alternative Perspective, where we have a voice for the LGBT community, and there's so many other shows. We are diverse, okay, from music to news, and everything in between, okay? You're only going to hear it on WRFG 89.3, your station for progressive information. Alrighty, so you can call by 404-523-8989. You can go up online at WRFG.org, or you can walk in your donations, subscriptions, at 1083 Austin Avenue in the Little Five Points area. Okay, and now we're gonna go to the to our guest here in the studio. Brandon, would you introduce them?
Sure. What I wanted to do, if possible, I read that last portion really quickly and then give our guest the remaining half hour.
Okay.
Would that be okay? Yeah, about where we left off, there's two things that you can do right now to help push this ahead. Number one, you can look for Google repeal Georgia's marriage ban 2014 and like that, I'm sorry, sign that petition to help grow those numbers. Number two, if you'd like to encourage our Representative Drenner to release a statement in regards to what she's going to do in 2014, you can call and ask. They're going to be in session for just two more days. Her office is 404-656-0202. Let me confirm that number. I almost know it offhand, but that number is 404-656-0202. What I'm going to do at this point is just read that third portion of a that I wrote, and then we'll go to the guest that we the have
the
tonight.
Portion. What was the purpose of that? What you wrote?
Oh,
there might be some new listeners that don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. What it is that I wrote a four-part series called Forward March. I personally once believed that just by the intrinsic fact of living in my truth as a gay man, I would automatically bring upon myself the curses of loneliness and disease. You will never get married. You will never have a family, and you might not live to be, my care went on expressed to me with tears in her eyes, her deep-seated concern about me carrying on in life as a gay man. I once believed her seeing an older cousin of ours expiring before the age of 40 to AIDS in the early 90s. I believed I too might share the same fate if I continued to be gay, and it terrified me, let alone the fear of a hell my pastor told me awaited me when this earthly hell was over. There is an old adage, as a man thinketh, so is he. Had I not dispelled for myself these myths early on as a gay man, and I shudder to think of what my life might be like now at age 30, believing I have only 10 more years to live, would I be concerned about getting tested regularly and often? Would protected sex be just a matter of sex period, or would it be an option or disregarded altogether for the thrill? Would I still work hard to keep my body in shape and eat the right foods as if I'm trying to live past age 90? And would I steer clear of any recreational drugs whatsoever, or which is widely abused among my peers? Or would I be screwing my brains out with anyone who wanted me without care of wanting to develop a deep, meaningful relationship with those who are qualified? What saved me? Television saved me. For the first time about the beginning of the millennium as a young man, I began to see positive examples of gay men in the media. I saw those even who looked like me leading healthy, decent, and productive lives with gainful and respectable careers, great friends, and loving partners. I began to want that for myself once I believed that I too could have that. My aspirations, expectations, and standards in life automatically heightened. These were not the feckless, one-dimensional, cartoonish, and flaming caricatures who were always the stereotypical hairdresser I failed to identify with. These were not the tragic and sad stories about single young men wasting away to AIDS in the prime of their youth. We must then begin to beg the question, if these unhealthy disparities found amongst the LGBT population have their roots and initial causes in a society which has long refused to acknowledge us, to affirm us, to teach us that our deepest yearnings for romantic love with those of the same gender are not disgusting. It is valid, natural, and has real meaning, beauty, and value for the rest of the world, which so needs stories about those who are fighting to love each other. I believe our story to be an inspiration for marriage itself, while many others have taken their marriages for granted with skyrocketing divorce rates. This is what I'm fighting to undo. I believe once more LGBT couples are allowed to solemnize their relationships openly under the protections of the law, more young LGBT lives will be saved and have brighter prospects for their lives and healthier concepts of their identity as LGBT people. Love heals and discrimination kills. Why then are the hopes of the LGBTQIAP, the community of diverse gender-based sexualities in Georgia, situated upon developments with the federal government and states in which we do not lie our heads and pay our taxes to? The answers I have been given simply is that this is the Bible Belt. It's harder to fight here. These things may be true, but that does not excuse us from doing the hard work here to assert justice over inequality. Are we then helpless in Georgia and must allow our state to treat us any way they see fit without challenge? We are helpless if we believe ourselves to be so. No one can help us as long as we keep this mindset. Are we to expect progress without struggle, harvest without plowing and sowing, or maybe we're expecting strength and fitness by letting others work out and diet for us? The federal government will do what it will, and our power to sway its outcome pales in comparison to our power to demand and require justice right here in our home state. In the same way that it is the states which elect our president, not the individual, it is the will of the states which sway the federal government. To those who are hoping for the almighty federal government to ride in and rescue us from our Bible-belt oppressors, must understand that we have to do our part right where we are in order to mandate such a move. Focus on Georgia, and then the federal government will respond. I believe that whenever a fight is most difficult, exactly where the fight should be directly taken to. In 1955, Alabama was known as the cradle of the Confederacy. That did not deter one middle-aged gentle lady from sitting down on a segregated bus and dare to be moved from her seat of choice. Her solitary act of defiant courage inaugurated the African-American civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s. When the Civil War was gridlocked in the up-south of Virginia, General William Tecumseh Sherman dared to go deep into the heart of enemy territory. He came straightway to Georgia and choked the Confederacy of his lines of communications and resources to fight which were coming out of its hub, which was Atlanta. Sometimes, in order to bring down a beast, you have to go directly for the jugular. And Georgia has had a long history as being at the epicenter of the beast of anti-gay legislation on the national stage. Be mindful, our Congressman Bob Barr authored the Defense of Marriage Act. Our Senator Sam Nunn was one of the strongest supporters of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and our own Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House from Cobb County when both laws came into being and was an outspoken advocate. Being that the Defense of Marriage Act was born from Georgia makes where we are a perfect battleground for this issue, even on a national level. People in states like Missouri are looking to us to get moving where we can have the most impact, and that is our own state. Being that this is the buckle of the Bible Belt and the fight will be most difficult here, we cannot afford to go about this soft, whiny, weak, or ineffectual in adopting a slouching victim's posture and a beggar's voice. No, we must take up this fight with much more poised and bold assertion, dignity, confidence, and direct determination than has yet to be seen, even on the national stage. We can be a people so decidedly free and so decidedly possessed with love and truth that all who witness our iron-willed march will clap for us, not cry for us. For as we liberate ourselves, we automatically give others permission and inspiration to do the same. This will reverberate and resonate throughout the pool of human spirit, across all boundaries, even to our opponents, to shake even their conscience to the core. Either the conservative Bible thumpers are right and we should then shut up and have a seat forever about all things considered gay, or they are mistaken and there is something else more righteous, enduring, and true. The enduring principles of love and equality are calling for leaders at such a time as this to take a firm, open stand and dare to be moved or silenced. If we are right, then we don't need to go to roundabout routes, sneakily nitpicking as singular rights as we can get them to finally get to what we were owed at birth. It is high time to short circuit and shut down the whole operation of discrimination against our community once and for all. And no fight will accomplish this more effectively than a fight for marriage equality, which is rightly the third rail and support beam to all anti-gay legislation. This is because marriage itself would be the crowning legal acknowledgement and affirmation to the quintessential idea of what it means to be lesbian or gay, bisexual, or transgendered. Our opponents know this, and that's why they will fight us tooth and nail, but we must be tougher, stronger, and more love-spirited than their mean-spiritedness. While we beg for workplace equality and housing protections against discrimination, they already know and fear that one day we will want marriage too, and we will soon enough come to demand that as well. If we hope to engender their respect, why not then be open and upfront about this? Unless we are ashamed and wrong about for wanting to marry, I don't understand the present tactic to insult the intelligence of our opponents by covertly aiming to gradually erode their resistance one law at a time. This puts us in the position of a thief trying to pilfer their consent while we believe that they don't see and understand what we are doing. No one likes or respects a thief, even if they are coming to steal a whiff of air in your house while you're not looking. This is why they call it the gay agenda. Not that we don't have an agenda, which is equality, but that the term connotes conniving ulterior motives, which their wild imaginations can then run away with and cause people to fear and resist our advances. Let me make this plain. Until we have marriage, our conservative opponents will always have the upper hand. We will always play by their rules and on their terms. Until we erect our postures, look them directly in the eyes, and put steel in our voices and gold rings on the fingers of those we love, we will always wrestle from our state from the submissive and weak position of those who are different, of an alternative lifestyle, and that of a second-class citizens. Once we are able to protect our families as equal under the law, I tell you the truth, it will be like the crumbling of the walls of Jericho on all issues, like workplace and housing discrimination. But all families have need of these things, for we must first get recognized as families. Okay. Well, we have Shawanda and Casey here with us, and I'd like for them to begin with telling their story about what they've been doing across the nation and what has encouraged them to do this, and we'll just go from there.
Hi, I'm Casey.
Hello, I'm Shawanda.
And we have been going up and down around the U.S., getting married in all of the marriage equality states. We've so far have been married 8 times. Last summer from April 7th through the 12th, we went and got married in New York, Connecticut, Maryland, Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Washington, D.C., and Maryland. I think I said Maryland already. But we did that with our 7 children.
7 children.
At the time, they were 12 to 17. We're doing the trip again this year, April 21st through the 25th. We'll be doing 6 states plus Canada.
So this is a family affair.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a family affair.
Okay, and all the states are you going to, marriage is legal because that's where you get married.
Correct.
Okay, but you come back, you reside in Georgia.
Correct. Yes, we are Georgia residents.
So if you got married 6-7 times already and you're going to get married another 6 times?
7 times.
Again, mm-hmm. But you're still not recognized in Georgia as legally married.
Correct.
We now, when strangers. Because you're not a resident, now here's what I'm wondering. On the federal level, you're not a resident of those states, so you cannot benefit from the federal the benefits that come with marriage in states where it's legal.
We get federal benefits, not state.
In Georgia. So you still can apply those benefits with federal, like doing
taxes,
joint taxes,
and, right?
Social security stuff, yeah. And whatnot. So you'll still be eligible,
correct?
Under the law here under the federal law,
under federal law,
Georgia.
Yes.
But
yes.
As far as the state is concerned, nothing. You're still single, yep. You know, and you would have to redo your taxes, for instance, separately.
You have to file single here.
Single here, okay.
Yeah, state taxes.
I have to ask, I know this is kind of a generic question, but what she just said, that is according to the state of Georgia. Shawanda, you and Casey are still single. How does that feel?
It sucks. A lot. Because, that's part of why we did our whole trip. And are continuing to do it because at the end of the day, even if we got married in 49 states and Georgia still wasn't legal, none of those marriages count.
Mm.
But they do count because she's my wife.
And what does it? What does it mean?
Georgia does not see that.
What does it mean? I mean, I guess, can you tell a little bit about your 7 kids and the Brady Bunch thing? Yeah.
Brady Bunch plus 1.
Right.
The Brady Bunch plus 1.
Tell us about your family.
Okay, we have 7 children. I, Casey, birthed 3 children, and Shawanda birthed 4. And they're Edward, who's 18, Kimani is 17, Kimari is 15, Lewis is 16. Davion,
15,
Cameron is 13, about to be 14 on Saturday, and Catherine is still 12.
Oh my God, you have a house full of teenagers.
Yes. Oh my.
Yes,
oh
all
my.
Teenagers.
Oh my, oh my.
Well,
okay,
yes.
Now let me ask the question that the caller had asked, maybe you being a student of the Bible at this point.
I guess you can call me student clergy.
Okay, student clergy. Okay. And something about what does it say in the Bible about women not, I mean, his question was, and I would think it's in relationship to two women together.
How does
the Bible
It does say it say in Romans, written by Paul. Mm-hmm. He was writing to the Church of Roman. And it does say in the King James version or translation of it is that for this purpose, that they were giving up the unnatural use of themselves. And the word that I feel that is misunderstood and mistranslated is natural. That is to assume people who raise that argument is to say that homosexuality is not natural. As we know that psychiatrists and anyone in the academic field that has studied scientifically the issue of homosexuality are concluding that it is natural, and some are even saying that it's probably more than likely it's genetic. Now that I didn't know, like I knew it was always natural,
right. But
it's genetic. So what it's saying is that people are doing things that are not natural for themselves.
Okay, that's what it says. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with the Pope on this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
who am I to judge?
Okay. Absolutely.
You know, and if the Catholic Church can say that, because I'm a recovering Catholic, mm-hmm. All right? and I like this Pope. I like this Pope because he's sort of kind of open-ended on things, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it gives for the freedom for the interpretation of whatever it is that you're reading, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's all the Bible is to me. The Bible is just an interpretation. Whoever's reading it.
Right.
Because it's man-written. That's number one, okay? Mm-hmm. It's man-written. It's been dissected and interpreted and revisioned and all kinds of stuff. How many times? I don't know.
Right.
But that's why you have all these different editions and version this and version that.
And
okay?
To that concern, I like to add that if someone, people can believe what they like, and I respect people's different
right.
beliefs, but if someone were to ask me, is there a such thing as judgment, I would say wholeheartedly, yes, there is judgment. And I cannot call myself student clergy if I did not assert that there is indeed judgment. But if you're worried about that, if you are worried about how you will be judged, for one thing, that judgment is not any of our concern.
Right.
We were called to love. None of us were called to judge. God
or
will
hate.
God will do the judging. And Jesus described how he will judge. In Matthew 25, it says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in jail and you came to visit me. And then people say, well, when did we do that for you? Mm. And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of those, you did it for me. Enter into the joy of your master. So he said that's how he will judge if you're concerned about that.
Okay.
Back
to Casey. We got that answered for the listener. I hope that satisfied you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back to the ladies here. And tell us, I mean, why, I mean, how did you conceive this idea? How did you, you know, what did you, you know, say to yourself when you said, oh, honey, how about if, okay? What was that conversation like?
I don't know if Casey even remembers that. Do you remember when you thought of it first? Exactly.
Not exactly.
You were in Illinois?
Do you remember?
We were in Illinois. Uh-huh. We was laying in the bed, watching TV. I don't know. We were just talking about being together. So and it ended up with one day getting married, and then it went from there.
Yeah, and then we had in 2012 before marriage became legal in Illinois, because that's where we're originally from. We had a civil union in a church, and mm-hmm. this was our big wedding.
Correct.
And then we said that June. We would go to New York and do the legal, since mm-hmm. we already had our civil. But circumstances came up and we weren't able to take it in June like we had originally planned. So I started trying to, of course, figure out when we could, you mm-hmm. know, because by this time,
And that's a whole lot of schedules trying to get all this stuff together.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And did you take the whole family with you?
Yeah. Everybody.
Oh my God. I've seen those pictures. Can you tell us about the I Do Marathon? Is that it?
That's what I call it.
Okay. You have a Facebook page.
We have dubbed it.
Okay.
The I Do Marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have a website, idomarathon.com, a Facebook page, facebook.com/idomarathon.
Facebook/
I Do Marathon.
Okay.
If you literally type in I Do Marathon, you'll find everything that I have.
Yeah, it's okay. a beautiful family. And that's why I was
have to hook it up, into mine.
Yeah, yeah. Such a beautiful family. That's what I was glad that you were allowed to allow us to use it in the video that we have released for this year.
Our kids we have very open kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they are.
What would this mean to them? I mean, if you were able to get married, what would this mean for them or to them?
If we couldn't get married?
I mean, if you could.
In Georgia?
Yeah. What would it mean to them?
A party.
They think it's a party.
That's it. I mean, they love, because right now, the traveling that we did, I say the kids have been more places than a lot of people I know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So even in 10 years, they can look back on this and say, this is something I did with my moms. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or I did this. You know, this is something.
You were part of American history that you were.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Granted, it's only our history right now.
Right. You have
But
18, 17, 15, 16, 12, an age group, I mean, it's where they're at, in that age. What is their, the individual reaction? I mean, how do they interact, with the whole idea of what you're doing?
I mean, everybody's on board.
Okay.
I mean, because before we even did it, especially our first major thing was when we moved from Illinois to Georgia. That was like our first major family discussion. What are we going to do? Is this going to work for everybody? Thing. And then just from there, because I'm an extremely open parent. You can basically talk to me about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there are concerns, of course, I want to know what they are. But I mean, only concern we really had last year is the fact there were 9 of us in a 7-passenger van.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
that's going to happen this year if we don't get a little bit of help.
Because we have a van
and a bigger van.
Last year, we funded everything ourselves. The hotels, the food, we used our own car, our gas, all of that we did it ourselves. And I'm cheap, so, I did, hot wire and all that other stuff for hotels, mm-hmm. and I took the cheapest route.
So you budgeted.
I sure did. It's 9 people.
Yeah.
We crammed into one room.
And you got to think about food and all that kind of stuff.
I mean,
that's expensive.
And it worked. And amazingly, the kids were so amazing. They didn't complain. They didn't, fuss and fight about what was going on. They were happy in the experience, which I'm grateful for.
Wow.
But this year, trying to do that, all of us in the 7-passenger,
isn't
going to work.
The guys are a little buffier and the girls are a little hippier, so it's not going to work.
I would like that. It's like this is a family fight. Because it's not just you two. This is a family fight.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask you two things. For you personally, what are you fighting for? And number two, for those benevolent angels that want to help you in your fight, what can they do? How can they help you?
Okay.
What are you fighting for?
We're fighting because we want our marriage to count. All of them. I want my marriage to count. I don't want to have to cross the state line and Shawanda is just a stranger to me. Legally, she's a stranger. Even though I know her, there's nothing holding her to me once we cross the Georgia state line.
Georgia. If one of you, God forbid, gets sick.
Yeah.
You don't
have
the right
to have the means
here
to be
in
able
Georgia,
to care for her.
It's nothing.
You can't call, you can't, they won't even, if they feel like not letting you into the room where she's at, they don't.
Right.
Because they have that right here.
Absolutely.
And
that has to bug disturb your soul. I mean, it doesn't have to, but I would imagine.
And she wanted to ask me all the time, why did we move to Georgia?
Yeah, why?
She didn't do her homework before we got here. She just wanted to come to Georgia. She didn't do her homework.
why did you want to come to Georgia?
But that's... That's a good. That is a good point that is outlined in the petition, is that those who do their homework may look at Georgia like, I'm not moving there. And
but you know what? If nobody ever does it, it'll never happen. So if we're the ones that get people talking, because, yeah, I mean, we could have got married once. Okay. But everybody, not everybody, but, you know, everybody does it once. That wouldn't make you look at it a second time. But the fact that we've gotten married 8 times already makes you kind of do a, even if, you know, you're not really into it, you'll look to see why. Well, why did they get married 8 times?
Do you?
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it has that intrigue to it, to where.
Okay, hold that thought 1 second, okay? Because we're going to have to take another PSA break, okay?
It's Peach Blossom time. This is Steve Kay, host of the Peach State Festival show's Amazing Grass on the first Tuesday and Americana Garage on the first and third Fridays, inviting you and yours to the 38th annual WRFG Peach Blossom Bluegrass Festival. You know, bluegrass was the very first music played on community radio WRFG, and we honor that tradition every year at the Peach Blossom. The festival will take place on Saturday, April 5th. The location is the Clarkston Community Center at 3701 College Avenue, Clarkston, Georgia, 30021, exit number 40 off of 285. There will be food vendors. There will be drink vendors. There will be craft and merchandise vendors. There will be raffles. There will be fellowship. There will be spontaneous jamming in the parking lot. Bring your instruments. And there will be live bluegrass by Playing on the Planet, Tucker Station String Band, Johnny Rockmore and the Apostles of Bluegrass, Cedar Hill, 8th of January, Grass Backards, Facing South, and Whoa Nelly. Doors open at 2:30 p.m., music starts at 3 and goes continuously until 9, culminating in an all-star jam smackdown. Tickets are $15 at the door, $12 in advance, $10 for seniors and WRFG members, and $6 for students age 6 and above. Kids under 6 are admitted free. The festival is family-friendly, is indoors, and has plenty of free parking. For additional info and to purchase tickets, visit www.wrfg.org or call 404-523-3471. Come party with us at the 38th annual WRFG Peach Blossom Bluegrass Festival. If you ain't there, you ain't nowhere.
On the air. Alrighty, we're back, and remember that it is Pledge Week, and that you, this is how we stay on the air, by with your help, okay, and the number is 404-523-8989, website is wrfg.org, and this is how you continue hearing these kinds of shows, information, stories, live, real stories about the issues and how they affect real people. And with that, Brandon, you had some questions for the ladies.
I suppose drilling on the conversation that this is a family fight, not just two lesbians trying to get married. This means something to your family. I wanted to ask, do each of you, being that you are mothers of different children, do each of you have custodial rights over the other's children?
No.
None. So if one of Shawanda's children were to become ill, you would not be able to make medical decisions for her children?
I mean, I do anyway, but legally.
Yeah, but legally here in Georgia, no.
Can you come pick them up from school or do anything?
I mean, we're fortunate that our kids' school, we're very active in that, and mm-hmm. they know us, and they know that we're each other's, you know, parent. Both of us are down as parents for our children.
Okay.
So they know, either call me or call her.
Okay.
Know? So they know that we're fortunate for that. Mm-hmm. But I guess if they wanted to, they could stop.
There's
us.
Some weakness, you know, in the laws being able to take care of your family, and right. and I guess that's what you're fighting for.
Right.
And
well, they also might be in some place where, I know in South Fulton they have just like East Point, for instance, they have domestic partnership benefits in some of the places.
Jonesboro doesn't.
No. Okay, because I mean there are some townships that have domestic partnership benefits and they have that partnership thing, and you know where they recognize the partners and stuff in certain aspects, but just in those jurisdictions.
Right.
Okay.
So no, this destabilizes your family in some areas, and I guess those benevolent angels that are listening want to help. I guess you can talk about how they can go about helping.
We have everything on our website, which is www.idomarathon.com, all one word. And you can find everything there. Everything that we need, everything that we're asking for is listed there. Okay. You can also find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/idomarathon. And then me and Shawanda are both on Twitter. My Twitter is Casey, K-A-C-E-Y, Gemini 23. And Shawanda is Shawanda, C-H-W-A-N-D-A, Scorpio.
Okay. What it just popped in my head. Did you ever think about when you will go again on this trip to get married? Would you think about doing a documentary?
I've reached out to people to like
filmmakers.
Do it.
We love to.
We love to. We think it's a great thing, but we just haven't had the support that
you need a filmmaker or someone who might be interested in covering your story.
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. I think I might be able to connect you with some people. I can't make any promises.
That's fine.
We'll talk about that offline.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's anything anybody wants to do, they can reach out to us. There's a way to contact us even through the website. So there's a contact.
So there's more
us
contact
page.
Information at the website.
Absolutely,
also.
Everything you need for us is on our website.
Okay. All right. Are you planning to at any point to adopt each other's children?
They about to be grown and out the house.
Oh, okay. So you think, all right.
I mean,
you're grown and out the house.
I mean, for the younger ones, it's possible. Mm. But I don't know. We haven't gone there.
Well, you're these kids, they home to their 30.
I'm Mumsy and she's Mom. So, I mean, I don't think at any point that and plus they're old enough now that if something, God forbid, did happen to us, they could kind of, you know, voice their opinion as to where they would want to go, whether
and how they
want to
do things.
Absolutely.
Right.
Some of them still have father figures, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Their dads are still in their lives.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. My daughter's father's always been in her life.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah. We have a very large extended family.
Yeah.
So.
I like that. That's good. So do I. You know, so it's always a good thing, you know, because it's, you know, when when people ask questions and stuff, it's just like, you know, you can give back is sort of kind of what the norm,
right,
you know, is
right.
Quote unquote, like the norm.
Yeah. Nothing,
you know,
in our family.
In that the relationships are intact, you know, as far as the
kids. And we try to keep
kids.
It that way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they have enough with same-sex parents, so have as much normalcy and stability as we can give them works. So
that's great.
Even
though
I don't
good.
Think having two moms.
Yeah, I want to see about, you know, getting you back here after you come back from your next trip and stuff. You know,
oh,
so
absolutely.
You can tell us what has gone on in that one. Again, I thank you for being here and for bringing your story, and we'll definitely keep up with you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I mean, I just find it so extraordinary. I mean, it's just like, wow, you know, this is really cool. And I mean, I can see all kinds of, you know, roads where this can lead, you know. And I'd be very much interested in keeping up with the progress of it all.
Cool. That's fine.
All right, folks out there, thank you for tuning in. And remember that it is Pledge Week, and you can call 404-523-8989 to pledge, or you can go online at wrfg.org. It is how we stay on the air and bring you these types of stories and real people with real stories. And that's what it's all about. Okay, until next week, good night and buenas noches.